ॐ भरताय प्रतिभूतिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्धधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। Well, in chapter 3, verse 14. Annad bhavanti bhutani, annad bhavanti bhutani, parajanyat anasambhavaha, parajanyat anasambhavaha, yajnyat bhavati parajanyaha, yajnyat bhavati parajanyaha, yajnyat karma samudbhavaha. Yajnyat karma samudbhavaha. Annat bhavanti bhutani parajanyat anna sambhavaha. Yajnyat bhavati parajanyaha. Yajnyaha karma samudbhavaha. Lord Krishna is presenting here in these few verses preceding, but now particularly in this verse, exactly what is the nature of the creation of Ishvara in terms of the Vedas, karmas, rituals, dharma, adharma. Why are these things enjoined? And why is it important for the Ajnani, who is seeking knowledge, as well as, in fact, for the samsari, who's not seeking knowledge, but is participating in this creation, why is it important that they follow dharma and perform the karmas that are being enjoined on them? What is the relationship of those karmas, or the Vedas, the rituals that are enjoined, the dharmas that are enjoined, what is the relationship of those to the Lord, to Ishvara, to the whole, to moksha, to all of these things? Why is it so important? And so here he's trying to explain that. He says, annat, from food, bhavanti bhutani, all beings come from food. And by from food means food that's been processed and then through the blood and semen of the human being, which is really nothing but food that has been modified, the beings are born. Right? So what it boils down to is food, your modification of food, processed food. And so, annat, from food, bhavanti bhutani, all the beings come from food. They are from food, okay? All beings. Parajanyat annasambhavaha. And the food, the production of the food, the birth of the food, anna sambhavaha, the birth of the annam, of the food, is parajanyat, from the rain. Right? Food comes from rain. If there's no rain, the food can't grow. Right? And so you come from the food, but the food comes from the rain. Yajnyat bhavati parajanyaha. The rain comes from yajna. Yajna is the adrishta. Adrishta means the Adrishta means what's being referred to here as punya. But let's do the rest of this verse, and then I can make a distinction between yajna and karma here. So, The Patarjanya, the rain, yajnat bhavati. The rain is from yajna. We're going to say punya, adrishta, and I'll explain that in a minute. Yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. The karma is the yajna is from karma. Okay? So the rain is from the yajna is from karma. The next verse is going to continue this, but let's just stop here. Here, by karma, we're talking about Vedic rituals. The karmas are the actual rituals that are being done. Well, you've seen it from those of you who have been to India or been to a temple. You've probably had an opportunity to see Vedic rituals where the ghee and things are being thrown into the fire along with mantras that are being chanted. And those rituals are always done for a purpose, to evoke the grace of the gods for whatever reason, to invoke the grace of different deities for specific reasons. These pujas, these rituals, are being performed. The rituals, the karmas, when we're using karmas in this way, we're talking about Vedic karmas. They're a little different than going to a temple where you're offering puja, you know, chants and flowers and whatnot to the Lord, to a deity. Here, these are fire rituals. And so all of these rituals are something that come with the Vedas. You know, the rituals themselves, they're very specific. Exactly how they're to be done, what chants are to be done, at what time, what is to be offered. And it's very, very particular where it's done, how the bricks are laid, and how many bricks, how wide, what the depth of it all is, exactly what type of fuel is to be used, and exactly what is to be offered and when, with what hand. It's very, very specific. Who does it? What prayers are said by which priests? So all of these rituals are contained in the Vedas, right? The mantras that are being chanted, along with the instructions on how to perform the ritual. So these rituals that are being done, these rituals give birth to the yajna. The yajna now is the result of the ritual. And so the result of the ritual will be adrishta. It's the unseen result. When we say a karma that you do will have a drishta pula. Drishta comes from the root drish. It's past passive participle. That which is seen is drishta. So sometimes I use an example that when a ritual is being done, the drishtapala is a lot of smoke. A lot of smoke and, you know, watery eyes and smoke-filled clothes. And, you know, that's the drishtapala. But the adrishtapala, right, the fruit of the ritual, the unseen fruit of the ritual, is punya. Right? Or if the ritual was done improperly, or if you were to do an improper adharmic act, the adrishta is papa. So when we say punya and papa, this is adrishta, adrishtapala. Drishtapala is what actually happens immediately in the performance of that act, right? And so we have in the world, we have even in any karma, you have an immediate act, but then you have an adrishta. The adrishta is the unseen. And so here, the rituals which come from the Vedas, right, have a adrishta pula, and it is that adrishta that brings the rains. Okay, in this particular example. So the adrishta is what brings the rains, and that adrishta is what we call yajna. Okay. So let's do the next verse, and then we can see this kind of these verses are a unit. Okay? Karma brahmo bhavam vidhi. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam nityam yajne pratishtitam. Sandhi. Karma brahma udbhavam vidhi brahma akshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam. Now he says, this is a continuation. Karma, the karma is Brahma Udbhavam. The karma is born from Brahma. Here's Brahma is being used as the Veda. And actually in the Shruti, Brahma is often used as the Veda. Brahma can be used to mean the Veda. It can be used to mean Brahmaji. It can be used to mean Brahman, right? Brahman, the Atma, which is Brahman. So it can be used in that way too. Here we know, because of the context, that the first Brahman here is being used as the Veda. Karma is born of Brahma, which is the Veda. So the karma, the rituals, are born of the Veda. That's the only way that you know the rituals is through the Veda, right? The rituals are not somebody's idea. They're not man-made. The rituals are something that are revealed in the Veda. So here it says, now the karma is born of the Veda, Viddhi. May you know that. May you understand that. This is imperative mood. May you understand Viddhi. May you understand this. What? That these karmas themselves are born of the Veda. Not only that, then, Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. And Brahman, Brahma, the Veda, is Udbhavam, Samudbhavam, is born of Akshara Brahma. The Brahman, Ishwara, which is immutable. Brahma Akshara means it's immutable. The Brahman that is always there. We say Ishwara because we're bringing in Maya, right? Anytime you bring in the creation or any type of manifestation within duality, you understand Maya. But the Brahman is immutable. So Brahma Akshara, the immutable Brahman. So here it says, the karmas, the rituals that are done that bring about the yajna, bring about the punya, which produces the rain, which produces the food, which produces the individuals, which gives birth to the individuals, that Brahman, that Veda, is produced, right, has for its cause, by produced means is born of, has for its cause, Akshara Brahma. Akshara Brahma means Brahman, which is Ishwara. We say there is no other Ishwara except for Brahman. But we say Brahman with Maya, right, allows for the manifestation of the creation. The Maya has, the Brahman never loses its immutable, means the Brahman the self never goes through any type of modification at all. But that Brahman has Maya as its capacity, we can say. But the Maya has no substance apart from Brahman. But that Maya, Brahman with Maya, is Ishwara. So what this is saying is that the whole Ishwara, right, is rooted in Brahman, right? Ishwara is Brahman. And it is from Ishwara, let me say Ishwara is Brahman. Okay? And so it is from Brahman that the Vedas come. And in fact, they say that the Vedas come like breath. The Vedas are the manifestation of knowledge. Okay, so let me finish this verse and then I'm going to unfold this for a while so we'll be able to see the vision of it. So it says, may you know that the karmas, the rituals, they are born of the Veda. Brahma Udbhavam. They are born of the Veda. The Veda is born of Ishwara. It's born of Brahman, which is Ishwara. Okay? Tasmat. Therefore, Sarvakatam Brahman. This Brahman, which is the Veda, is Sarvagatam. It's all pervasive. Means the Veda, on the second line, this Brahman means the Veda. Therefore, this Brahman is sarvagatam. It goes everywhere. Sarva means all. Gata means it's gone. Gone everywhere. Okay? So this Veda reaches out into all things. So all the things that are important for an individual, all of the purusharthas. Right? Purusharthas means those things that are important for a human being. Their artha, what they need for security, kama, what they need for their own happiness and pleasures within samsara, dharma, what they need in terms of all of the rituals and dharmas and things that they do in order to get a better next birth, and moksha. The Vedas give all of this. What is the duty of a human being? What does it mean to be a human being? How to be a human being in relationship to Ishwara? That's what the Vedas give you knowledge of Ishwara, give you knowledge of Brahman, so take care of moksha. They give you knowledge of, as a jiva who's a karta, The jiva who is a doer, right? Karta bhokta. Karta means a doer, bhokta the enjoyer. The samsari jiva, right? The one who is an ajnani, doesn't have knowledge. That samsari jiva is still here within Ishwara, as part of Ishwara. The Vedas let you know that. You are here as part of Ishwara. All the devatas, which are part of Ishwara, right, are all of the laws, all of the order that are responsible for bringing the rains and the wind and giving you food and nourishing you and giving you the things that you need in order to prosper, in order to live, in order to be a human being. All of those things are given by the creation. And they're all being handled by all of the devatas, means all of the order, Ishwara's order, but being looked at as devatas, which means conscious being, right? So you see the whole creation as a conscious being. So you as a jiva within Ishwara, you know, have a relationship with this order. You have a relationship with Ishwara for the many aspects of Ishwara. You have a relationship with Ishwara as the sun, with Ishwara as the rain, with Ishwara as the food, with Ishwara as the lakes and the rivers and the waters, with Ishwara as the clouds, with Ishwara as every aspect of the creation. You are in relationship with that. And so as that, all of those things are giving to you, you need to give back to them. There's a reciprocity there. So you need to, as they freely give to you, you know, you need to give back to them in order for it to be a reciprocal relationship. Otherwise, as in the previous verses, Krishna says, otherwise you're like a thief. You're like a thief. Somebody is giving so much to you, you just gobble it all up and run away. Right? So that's like a thief. That doesn't won't lead to any type of happiness. So anyway, let's finish this verse and I'll go on about this. So, tasmat sarvagatam brahma. This brahma, the Vedas, is sarvagatam, means it's gone everywhere. It takes care of all needs. It's a manifestation of knowledge that comes out of Ishwara like breath. It's like breathing. And there's no area where it doesn't touch. What it means is there, when we think of the Vedas in that way, it takes care of your needs as a human being in relationship to Ishwara. It tells you exactly what your duties are, what needs to be done in order for you to have punya, in order for you to have a happy life, in order for you to have a blessed life in this world, as opposed to a sorrowful life, one that's filled with papa, as we'll see. But in order for you to be in proper relationship with this creation, these are the things that you need to know. So that's how the Vedas is read. Now he says, the Vedas, they are nityam, means they're eternal. Why? Yajne pratishtam. Brahma And this is really pretty, this is so nice. Oh, I see. All right. In the Bhasha, I'll just read you this little bit. Why would you say that Brahma is sarvagatam, all-pervasive? He says, tasmat sarvartha prakashakatva, because of lighting up sarva artha, all of the purusharthas. Prakashaka means it makes them all, Brahman makes them all known. Right? He makes you see all of these things that are necessary in order for you to fulfill yourself as a human being. The purusharthas, these are the things, the four purusharthas, these are the things that you need in order to be fulfilled as a human being. You need security. You need to have your desires fulfilled, pleasures fulfilled. So you have to understand that. You have to understand sukha and dukkha in terms of pleasure and pain in terms of dharma adharma. So you have to understand the rules around sukha and dukkha, right? You have to understand what it is that you need to make you secure. Like, for instance, enough how to handle your wealth, family, home, all of these type of things. Mm-hmm. Then dharma, what you need to do to get a better next life. Well, you know, to accrue punya, what do you need to do? And when you become an adhikari, you know, for moksha, then you have to be able to get moksha. These are the purusharthas. So these are the aspects of life. The Vedas is something which is a prakashika. It reveals, prakashika means it's a revealer of that. It reveals all of those things, the sarvartas, the meaning of all of that. It reveals all of that. So then it says, this Brahma, all of this, which is sarvagatam, itself is pratishtitam. It's rooted in the yajna. It's rooted in the ritual and in all of the karmas and in all of the it's rooted in the karmas, you know, the karmas which produce the adrishta. So the Vedas themselves give you the Vedas themselves are rooted in Bhagavan, in Ishvara. And then those Vedas, you know, are rooted in the rituals which they themselves give, which they themselves reveal. Then those Vedas are being held in those rituals. And the rituals, you have to extend a little. The rituals are the offering of the ghee and the chants and all of that, but it's also the lifestyle. You know, it's also the duties, you know, that relate you to the whole. All the rituals relate you to the whole, because the rituals always invoke all of the gods, and you're offering to the gods and saying prayers and chants to the gods and evoking their grace. And you're always evoking Ishwara's grace when you're doing all of these various rituals. But with that mindset, you're always evoking the grace of the Lord also, whatever you do. Right? For instance, in India, if there's ever any type of new beginning, you would never start something without doing some sort of a puja or a ritual where you evoke the Lord's grace. You don't do a beginning without evoking the grace of the Lord. Say a child is born, all the way through the life, there's markers where certain rituals and prayers need to be done. They need to be done in order to bless that child and have that child be properly orientated to the Lord in terms of rituals and prayers. So the prayers are offered up to Ishvara, and then what is received from those prayers that are offered up is punya, is adrishta, which protects the child. That's the relationship. The whole way along, you're recognizing Ishvara. There's a give and take in that relationship. And say you were not to participate in that give and take, then you're not connected to the whole. You're not connected to what is there. That's what the next verse is going to talk about. But here, let me do a little bit more on this. Okay, before we do the next one. What is being said here is the reality for Ajnani. From the standpoint of Ajnani, that somebody who has self-knowledge, right, that means that there is an understanding of the whole. And so what is included in that understanding is this being, this conscious being that is myself. It's from this being that this entire creation, Ishvara, right, the whole creation projects as Ishvara, is sustained and resolves into this self, which is my being. And so in fact, I am the self of the yajna, and I am the self of the tree, and I am the self of the air and the earth. I'm the self of the whole. That's the understanding of the jnani. I am this. I am this whole. But now, So within that understanding, say now, so that's where this knowledge resolves. And for that person, the Jivanmukta, the one who's liberated, this ritual, these rituals are a poetry. They're a perfect expression of the reality. Now, but say you're not a Jivanmukta. Say you're not liberated. You don't, liberated just means knowledge. Say you don't have self-knowledge. But you're a mumukshu, or you're just a dharmi. You know, you're a mumukshu or a dharmi. But we're talking here mumukshus. Then what does the Vedas give to you? It gives to you an understanding from your perspective as a jiva within the creation what the nature of this reality is. The nature of the reality is that you as a jiva are a part of Ishvara. Right? You are part of Ishvara. And that you are making use of Ishvara, the Lord, through as all of these devatas are taking care of you. The devatas, Ishvara, is bringing the rains and giving the sun and growing the food that you need to eat to survive. And so the Vedas is making you see that. And so because that is true, you need to give back and be prayerful and be appreciative. You know, otherwise, say you're a child and you're growing up, your parents are doing giving so much to take care of you and to feed you and to love you and protect you. Right? And what it means for your parents for you to give back thanks and gratitude. How happy it makes the parents. Right? I mean, it's obvious. It makes the parents, just the smile of the child. The child saying, "Oh, I love you so much, Daddy," or "I love you so much, Mommy." You know what that means, and thank you for giving, all taking care of me, for doing all this. You know, whenever a child gives that type of appreciation, how much it means to the parent. Okay, so now, what if the child doesn't give any appreciation, and is just angry and resentful?
It's a kind of tension.
Okay. So now, say that's the case. That child is not going to be happy. The child won't be happy. It's going against its own dharma, but it's also unhappy in the situation. Right? Now, the parent, we're looking at devata parents, good parents. Now, the parent is going to keep giving the reins. Right? He'll keep giving the reins unless everybody becomes... I'll tell another story about that in a minute.
Yeah.
The parent will keep giving the reins, keep helping, you know. But the child isn't in relationship. See what I'm getting, where I'm going there? The child's not in relationship. And so that child is going to be isolated and angry and going in the wrong direction. Just me, 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 me. Okay. So here, like that, we need to be in relationship to something, to Ishvara. You know, you need to be in relationship to the planet, to all of the different parts of this creation that are taking care of you, because the whole creation is looked at as the conscious being, as Ishvara. And therefore, each part, whether it be the sun, and the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the water, just the planet itself is serving you, is giving to you, is supporting you. And so it becomes your parent. It becomes the one who holds you and takes care of you. And that conscious being, these words are just is consciousness, a conscious being, you need to give back. And so in the Vedas, there's all of these rituals and prayers that are thanking. They're giving gratitude and thanking and praising in so many ways. Like if you read the actual prayers of the Vedic prayers, or the prayers that we even have been learning, they're all gratitude and thanks and praise and adoration, and then they will ask, could I have this and could I have that, could I have that, after they've done all of the praise and adoration. So there's a continual, this is within the Vedas, Ajnanis now, right? Or the ones with a kartritvam, that doership and bhoktritvam is there, right? But how to be, when you are just a jiva, you don't have self-knowledge, you're a jiva here, you either want to gain self-knowledge, or you're just a dharma, you've been born into this culture. How to be in this culture? Now, so the Vedas give you all of that. Now you gain, they also give you moksha. Now when you gain moksha and you go back and you look at what the Vedas have given you as a karma yogi, you know, or as a dharmi, right? What they have given you, is it the truth or not? You won't take back any of it. Because you may know that from your own standpoint, I am the whole. But how do I want this body, mind, sense organs to look at the world? I still look at the world as Ishvara. I still, even with knowledge, that doesn't stop me. I may not be enjoined now to do rituals or pujas. I'll get into that when we get a little farther along in these verses. But what is my attitude? What is my attitude toward the sun and the rains and the stars and the planet and toward all that's being given? Is it an attitude of appreciation and gratitude? Yes, because that's the natural attitude. And so what I'm trying to say here is that the Vedas are Vedas are guiding you. They're giving you the attitude that is appropriate for who you are as a jiva in this creation, which is Ishvara. You see? And so that's why, because they say so clearly, just look at this progression. This body that you have, this body comes from food. The food itself comes from the rain. The rain comes from yajna, from the punya, from the adrishta, right? Which comes from the karma. The karmas that you do, the rituals that you do, we can take it just as the Vedic rituals, but also karma, the actions that you do, punya papa. So we'll take it Vedic rituals that you can extend to the actions, punya papa, that you do. That karma comes from the Vedas. How do you know what the karmas to do? What rituals to do? They come from the Vedas. Viddhi, know that. These karmas, they come, they're enjoined upon you. Karmas, the Vedic karmas, whether you take them as rituals or the karmas, the duties that are enjoined upon you, they are enjoined upon you by the Vedas. Right? So it says, these karmas, they are born of the Vedas. What are the Vedas born of? The Vedas come from the Lord. They come from Ishvara. The Vedas are born from Ishvara, like the breath. Then what? Therefore, the Vedas that are born of Ishvara are sarvagatam, because Ishvara is sarvagatam, right? Ishvara is manifest knowledge. When we think of Ishvara, now to have a vision of an understanding of Ishvara, what is Ishvara? It's Brahman plus manifest knowledge, infinite manifest knowledge. And so Ishvara is all knowledge. To understand, this is something to really grasp Ishvara as being just consciousness. I think the easiest way to do it, and how Swamiji is spending a lot of time unfolding it in this way, because it's just so perfect. If you recognize that every thought that occurs in your mind is manifest knowledge, right? Like if I say, you know, think of a meadow. The meadow that comes into consciousness now is manifest knowledge, right? Before you thought of it, it was there, but unmanifest. See that? Like if I say, right now, think of your car. You weren't thinking of your, I doubt, if you were thinking of your car until I asked you to. Now that kara has come into manifestation. Now if I ask you to, instead of, don't think of your car, if I, okay, think of your car, but now, you know, think of your living room. You know, that comes into manifestation. Until I asked you to think of your living room, it was there, but it was unmanifest. Right? But when it is manifest, now it is present. Consciousness plus this manifestation of knowledge. Right? And then when it is not there, it's still there in unmanifest form. Called avyekta. It's there in unmanifest form. But when it manifests, then it is there. So now you have awareness plus the manifestation of knowledge, which is in the form of whatever you're thinking. Now, Ishvara, infinite manifest knowledge. When it's not manifest, then it's in avyekta, because the creation is considered cyclical. So manifest knowledge is the maya when it's manifest. Then what is it? What is it? It's awareness plus manifest knowledge. But infinite manifest knowledge, right? In the form of the entire creation, you as a jiva are included in that manifest knowledge. So you're looking at each other and talking and looking at the universe, enjoying the sun and the stars and the sky and the planet and the foods and all of this, the winds. You're enjoying all of this manifest knowledge from within the manifestation. If I ask you to have imagine a meadow and visualize yourself walking in the meadow. Now the one who is walking in the meadow is within the manifestation, looking at the meadow from within the meadow, right? From within that manifestation. You are all me, we are all within this manifestation. But the manifestation that we are in is just knowledge, right? Infinite knowledge. There is nothing but infinite knowledge. Infinite knowledge is Ishvara. And so now the Vedas are the breath of Ishvara. The Vedas are the manifestation of Ishvara's knowledge. So they're the breath of Ishvara. Meant for what? For beings. For all beings. So that is the vision. What is the Vedas for? It's like Swamiji's called it as a handbook for the universe. Here's Ishvara's manifest knowledge, this infinite universe, all the beings within that manifestation. The Vedas are like the breath of Ishvara, pure the knowledge, which tells these jivas how to be in this world in such a way that you will be happy. Such a way that you will feel blessed. That's what the Vedas do. They give that knowledge. It's called Sarvagatam, all-pervasive, because it takes care of all of the different aspects of what a human being needs. So that's the vision here. And they say, and this Veda, it is rooted, you know, in the yajna. It roots itself in all of the things that it tells you to do, that you yourself are supporting it. The human beings are supporting this Veda. It's continually chanted and chanted and chanted. So the Veda itself, which produces, which gives all the karmas, is now itself rooted in all of those karmas. Everybody see? Mm-hmm. So now he says, let's do the next verse. Evam pravartitam chakram, evam pravartitam chakram, nanuvartayatihayaha, akhayurindriya ramaha, mogham partha sajivati, evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati iha yaha aghayuhu indriya ramaha mogham partha sajivati. Yaha. He who na anuvartayati. Iha. Yaha, the one who doesn't follow na anuvartayati, this chakra. Chakra means cycle, you know. Chakra is this cycle. Pravartitam, which has been begun, which has been initiated, evam in this manner. So this chakra, this cycle that has already been initiated in this manner, meaning what? The rains come from, right, the food comes from the rains, and the rains come from, the food comes from the rains, and the rains come from yajna. Yajna comes from punya, comes from karma. Karma comes from the Vedas. The Vedas comes from Ishwara. And then the Vedas come from Ishwara. And then those Vedas themselves are rooted in the yajna. So there's a whole chakra that's a whole cycle that's been set in motion here. So he says, in this manner, evam pravartitam chakram, this cycle that has been initiated in this way, that is proceeding in this way, na anuvartayati yaha. The one who doesn't follow that is not engaged in this cycle that is taking place in this way. Here, iha, here in this world, aghayuhu, that person is leading a sinful life. But by sinful, it's not the right word. It's leading a life that is not productive of happiness. Because when we say punya and papa, in India there's not this word sin, even though sometimes Swamiji will use it because we try to have a translation. But papa is that which is not conducive to happiness. It's behavior that's conducive to sorrow. So that aghayuhu, that person who is an indriya aramaha, only reveling in their senses. For them, the only thing that they know, the only place where the mind is going to land is what the sense organs land on. Like that's what keeps their mind going is just the senses. Not this whole other understanding of reality that is much beyond sense perception. If you think of Ishwara, Ishwara includes your body, your sense organs, and your mind. Right? So there's a whole more subtle reality, a whole different level of understanding that needs to be there. So the person who doesn't understand this, that doesn't understand Ishwara and the cycle of this cycle that we've just been talking about, if that isn't understood, then that person lives a life, is agayuhu, a person who is really ungrateful, whose behavior and attitude is not conducive to happiness. That person just simply reveling in their senses, mogam parta sajivati, that person's sajivati, he lives mogam in vain. Mogam means there's nothing that can come of it. It's in vain.
Unproductive. Unproductive.
Unproductive, but it's got a negative connotation. It's a useless, fruitless life. It doesn't amount to anything. The life is not productive of any type of meaning. That's a good way to understand it. That mogam is in vain means without meaning. Person's life has no meaning. Right? Because they're just here in a concrete reality. All that's real to you is what your senses land on. And that's it. It's a concrete reality. There's no sense of participation. There's nothing greater than you to which you belong. There's no one there that is giving to you. Yet you're taking, taking, taking. But in your mind, you're only taking from something that is inert. Right? You're only taking from the inert. So you become the God in a way. Do you see that? Like everything else is inert and insentient. You're the conscious being. And so you as this little conscious being in our little conscious bubble in an insentient world. And you're just taking, 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 taking. Right? For yourself, the God, the sentient God. But there's no recognition that in fact this is Ishwara. Right? And that, in fact, all of this is being given to you, and that you're in you need to be in relationship with it. So if that's not recognized, then your life is meaningless and not in agayuhu, sorrowful. Productive of a sorrowful mind. Agayuhu means estranged. It's an estranged mind. If we say the word, if we were really to get into the meaning of the word sinner, it would be an estranged mind, somebody who doesn't feel, can't feel blessed inside. Right? You need to be able to feel blessed inside and grateful inside. Otherwise, it's an estranged mind. So that this word sinner, it's just such a dark word. But to feel estranged inside, you know, and that you're just a pocket of consciousness in an inert world is a very dark place to be in. So the one who doesn't understand...
It's a pretty popular place right now, though.
The one who doesn't understand this relationship, right? Who doesn't follow it, who doesn't participate in it, then that person just reveling in playing in the sensory world. Indriya, we mean the indriyas, sense organs. And organs of action can be included too. But the arama means that's where they're reveling, that's where they're searching for all of their happiness. And the next verse that we'll see, the one who knows the self, that person is reveling in the self. For that person, there's nothing that needs to be done. There's no rituals that need to be offered. Right? But we'll see why that is. So he's going to talk now the distinction between karma yoga and jnanam. Okay. But let's stop here.
We'll go into that section. It's a different section.
Let's just take a minute. Purnamidah, Purnamidah, Purnat, Purnamidachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.